So Fiero asks Glinda, so what do you guys do for fun around here? And
Read.
yeah, basically with her,
Sim.
yeah,
Be
not to.
racist.
In the book, they have like, I'm at the part
Super racism.
where the teacher is like, oh, is this an animal or an animal? And like, it's in the book, it's like a capitalized A or a lowercase a. And Elphaba was like, well, the answer would be, no, if, where's its mother? So where's the, and not the lion cub part, obviously. Also, Fiera's black.
We could have had actually like whoever whatever
Like,
his
there's a whole like scene about him being
we should have could
racist
have
and like,
had the other dude from Bridgerton beat Fiero.
I know.
The guy who marries Daphne, whatever his name is.
Got right here.
Daphne's
This is
husband.
what this guy says about him.
What? Oh, I see. Above where you wrote. What's he wearing such silly paint for? Said Avaric. Average? Avaric? I don't know. He only draws attention to himself. In that skin. I wouldn't want to have skin the color of shit. Oh my god. And then Sahara wrote in her pen next to this, he's black? Like exclamation point and question marks. Also racist? And that one's just question marks.
That wasn't question marks.
What a thing to say, said Alphabet. Those look like the dots and then squiggle.
No, I'm saying that this statement
Oh,
is
you're pointing an
racist.
arrow. Sorry, it's an arrow. I thought it was a question mark.
No.
What a thing to say, said Elphaba. If you ask me, that's a shitty opinion.
I thought she
Gagged.
ate.
Sahara literally wrote LMAOOOO gagged, and then three
Mm-hmm.
exclamation points, all caps. Oh, please, said Bach. Let's just shut up. I forget, Elfie. Skin is your issue, too. He
See?
kind of gagged her right back, you know?
No.
It's kind of a racial gag, I feel like,
Oh my
but
God.
I forget you also have a skin
Isn't that
problem.
crazy? Oh my
That's
God.
crazy.
I
Who
know.
wrote this book?
Gregory
Gregory
Maguire.
Maguire, I'm watching you.
No, he kind of
That
eats with this. Like everything is kind of like you got it's like it's very layered.
layered.
It's a very yeah, like lasagna.
Like the New Zealand pop artist? No, that's lard.
So anyway, Glinda says that the students and her, even herself, they usually just do nothing. And Fiera asks, oh, have you ever been to the Oz Dustbowl?
Have you ever been to like the cool place where only the cool kids hang out, Elphaba?
Glinda says that place is somewhat illegal and
Which,
scandalous.
why?
Probably because there's animals there.
I just assumed because they were like underage. But then again,
I thought that too, but then like
that was my
after
first
like
thought, but then I was like, oh, maybe they're college students. Like, well, they're freshmen, so
yeah.
they're 18, maybe.
No, I think it's because there's animals there. Like animals are just openly like there.
I
Like
see, that's the thing. I didn't really notice any animals when we watched the movie.
really?
I just saw the people. I didn't see the animals.
Well, there's no animals at the school, but there's animals at the Oz
Yeah,
Dust.
that's what I said. What the else does?
And then there's animals at the Emerald City.
Yeah, but they're like,
Yeah, they're workers.
yeah. So,
Think about it. Think about
I already
it.
knew. I was talking about the Ostas, though. I already knew those. I didn't see in the movie. I only saw, obviously, in the movie. I only saw like people there.
Yeah, but they weren't to work, but they weren't working.
I felt like the animals were like just like in the background, though. That's what I'm trying to say.
You are not saying that though.
Yeah, I mean, I did kind of forget, and then it dawned on me. I'm like, oh, that was intentional.
Oh my God. Okay.
Your vision, Ariana
So
Grande. Your vision.
Fiero continues to plan with Glinda to go out, Bach overhears this and tries to be like hear what they're saying, but he leans so far back in his chair, like he
And
ends
he
up
falls
falling over.
back.
Yeah.
Felt.
Fiero like helps him up and they all introduce themselves and Glinda is like, awesome, salutations, and like walks Fiero off to continue to talk about going out. Bach follows them and tells them that it's actually against the school handbook for them to leave after dark.
Actually, we shouldn't do that. And I'll be like, okay, that's why you're not coming.
Fiero's like, I guess I'll have to corrupt you guys and convince everyone to join him because nothing matters and that they should just dance
And
through life.
knowing nothing matters, it's just life, man.
I
You thought he was,
love this
dude.
whole sequence.
When you look at it from a political perspective, you see that Fiero is just the, he's not like the people in power, mm-hmm. you know, because although he comes from like a very wealthy and powerful background, mm-hmm. He's not there, you know, mm-hmm. He's in a new land. He's a visitor here too.
Yeah. Like even in the book, like they make like Pettigrew like such a huge deal. And then now that he's being introduced in the book, they're like, no, he's like a full Winky. And he's like, I guess like a pauper prince is what they call him. Isn't that crazy?
But like, he's very much like he has no stake in mm-hmm. this fight. Mm-hmm. And so he's willing to like let evilness happen mm. because it A doesn't inconvenience him mm-hmm. and B, he gains nothing by stepping in.
Mm-hmm. A lot of fence sitters around here.
So huh? Nothing matters.
Nothing really this matters. This
doesn't impact me. Mm-hmm. He's not singing for them. He's singing for himself. Mm-hmm. Think about it.
That seems so crippling though. Can
think about it.
No, I love this. I love this whole dance sequence. And the moving books and stuff, the circle thing. You didn't like that?
The second half of this song is better than the first half by miles. And it's not even because the second half is like super good either to me. Like I like it, but like it's not like it didn't blow my mind. But that's like how much I don't like this first half. Where they're in the library mm-hmm. and the lighting's shitty. And there was whole drama about mm-hmm. the lighting, mm-hmm. like when the movie came out. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, it was intentional. And then the people were like, oh yeah, well, it's intentionally shit or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know? And I just want to say, I understand cameras today can pick up so much more than cameras even like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And there's so much like they want to show off mm-hmm. to fulfill their own artistic vision of mm-hmm. how they see this place. Mm-hmm. But as an audience member, mm-hmm.
We can't see.
You cannot see shit. You can't see this movie. You can't see it when it's too light because mm-hmm. you can't see what's happening in the background. Mm-hmm. And you can't see when it's too dark mm-hmm. because you can't see anything at all. Looking at you, season 8 Game of Thrones.
You've said this already.
I know. It's too... I don't want to battle the screen to see what's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to have to make out. Mm-hmm. Show me what's there. Mm-hmm. Movies and film and television are visual mediums. Mm-hmm. You're in the job of showing someone. And I feel like even if it conveys a little bit artistically mm-hmm. to your vision, mm-hmm. it eliminates the actual viewership of it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. if Picasso painted something mm-hmm. and then like, he put like a thinly like veiled shroud over it. And mm-hmm. he said that it was how he views the world mm-hmm. or how he thinks some people view the world or whatever analogy you want to make sure. Mm-hmm. But some people still want to see the art, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Sure. The entire thing is the art, mm-hmm. you know, the painting, the shroud, the thing holding the shroud and the mm-hmm. entire thing is the art. Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. So they are seeing it.
Yeah.
From the artist's point of view. Some mm-hmm. people also want to see what's behind the shroud.
Yeah.
That's my analogy. I was cooking that up all day.
Wow.
And I was just like, you know, yeah. Because, like, I get it. You, mm-hmm. I can understand that it's still your art. Mm-hmm. But, like, we're allowed to not like it. just because it's your art doesn't mean it's free of criticism.
Yeah. Yeah.
People need to understand that, too. I feel like more days. What? No one can take criticism. Mm-hmm. And no one can, like, really give good criticism either.
Yeah.
Like, all criticism is just either tearing down mm-hmm. or whatever and provide something instructive.
I know. I know. I used to hate that because whenever I would like get criticized for like my essays, they would be like, this is a spelling error. And I'd be like, okay, I know this. I know this. And I know you know this.
I tried really hard when we did peer review stuff in college and I probably just looked like a fucking nerd. Mm-hmm. And I actually did this wrong, but like, I really want to like help you mm-hmm. and this will work better if you mm-hmm. like do it like this. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I am on my job too. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm going to change this. Mm-hmm. You know,
do you have to let them know that you change things?
Sometimes they ask. Mm-hmm. So I'll try to keep track of what I did, mm-hmm. the main things other than like spelling errors. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, usually I try, but most times I don't ask. Mm-hmm.
That's nice. So Elphaba and her sister are hearing all of this and Elphaba is annoyed while Nessa is like, oh, this sounds like fun. We see Bok try to ask Glinda to save a dance for him at the Oz Dust Bowl, but she's like, OMG. Why should we get to have all the fun when that girl over there in the wheelchair gets to stay home? So sad. I wish some awesome guy would ask her to join us. And Bok is like, I can be that guy. And she's like, really?
I'll do anything for you.
You'd do that for me?
You'd do that for me.
And he said, I would do anything, all caps, anything
boxer
for her.
Boxer.
No, he meant that with his full chest, like to the point where like the actor said he would do anything. Would you do anything for Ariana Grande?
Probably not.
You don't think Ariana Grande's cute?
Yeah, but like I'd ask for like a Cat Valentine impression first.
You know? She'd probably hate that.
Don't ask me. Simple as. Don't ask me new shit unless I'm getting paid.
I think she's cute. Anyway, So we see Bach ask out Nessa, and Fiero sees through all of that. But
she's not going to pick you, bro.
But Glinda is like, what are you talking about? I love helping. Also, I'm free tonight. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. They sing about how perfect they are for each other and that they can dance through life together.
You have so many fruit roll-up rappers.
I know. Oh my God.
I'm sorry. Dancing through life.
Next, we see Nessa rule the Elphaba and tell her about how Bach asked her out to dance.
Sis. Guess what just happened?
Oh my God.
This perfect little munchkin boy.
Glinda found for me. And I only wish there were.
Wish there were.
What are you going to say? Something I could do for her to repay her. Elphaba, see, we deserve each other. And Glinda helped to come true. We deserve each other, me and Bach. Please, Elphaba, try to understand. I do. Did that land in my head? Where did it land?
Okay, well, first I thought you didn't notice that that happened.
I knew it happened.
I was just trying to flick it at you, and yeah. I saw it go off. I'm like, oh God, don't hit her on the head. And like, as you looked up, it just went like. It hit. I think it landed in the hamper back there.
Nice.
I found one of her headbands. I was just gonna fire it like at her leg, like right here, because I'm sitting next to it, and I missed completely. It went like up, and like right as she turned to me, it like went right over like the dome of like her head, mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, please don't hit her. I'm like, y'all, she's gonna beat me. This is a cry for help.
Elphaba hearing this is very skeptical of Glinda's intentions.
Intentions?
Mm-hmm.
I want
to
know.
Next scene, we see Glinda with her friends getting ready for the ball and squeezing her into this fabulous dress that makes her look like a colorful angelfish.
What you feeling?
Piffany, or Shinshin, I don't know which is which, compliments Glinda and goes through her dresser and finds a black hat and asks, what is this?
Isn't Fenny the guy?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know which is which.
Okay.
Glinda explains her granny gave it to her and that she would give it away, but she doesn't hate anyone that much. Her friends give her a look and she's like, I shouldn't, but maybe I should. And at that moment, Elphaba enters the room and Glinda's friends are like, OMG, we're going to go.
Which, and I get it. Like,
I think they said they're going to go rouge their knees.
They needed an excuse. So I've definitely gotten like ugly clothes from family members, but like, I've never like given them away like that, especially to someone. And I mean, I've never thought about like,
giving it to someone I hate.
Yeah,
that would
have never crossed my mind.
I know. I guess we're just nice people.
That's just crazy to me.
I mean, it is mean.
Yeah, but she rocked that hat. I swear, she said.
So as they're leaving, her friends are like telling her to like do it. And they're also telling Elphaba that she looks great and that they like her shoulder pads while they like laugh.
Shoulder pads.
Elphaba starts to talk about Nessa's situation, but Glinda stops her to ask if Elphaba will join them at the ball. And if she doesn't have anything to wear, she can wear this hat because it goes with everything she owns and that Glinda is truly doing this out of the goodness of her heart. Elphaba accepts the hat as Glinda goes to leave, and Glinda looks back, almost remorseful. Like, it's a hint, but I still think she's a cunt. Derogatory for doing this.
Whoa.
Yeah, this is, like, mean. Mm-hmm. And Elphaba is just looking at the hat and, like, smiling to herself because she, like, genuinely likes it.
So, speaking of this hat, and we were talking earlier about, like, the movie poster,
mm-hmm.
My thought of, like...
Oh, sorry for the thunder, you.
Yeah, they're in the playoffs.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm sorry, is that not funny?
Either? See, you can post that to our podcast Twitter.
Oh my God. But like, I kept thinking about like this hat, and I was just like, what does this remind me of? Mm-hmm. You know?
Witches?
Well, not obviously. Anyway. No, I was like, this girl with this hat, and like everyone's like looking at her, and I was like, oh my god, it's just like that one scene from Valerian, or whatever, with Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know why. I was like, what is this reminding me of? Like with the dancing and the black cat, and that being like the focal point of the thing. It's when she was the dancer on that one movie.
I have no idea how you made that correlation.
It's just the black cat, and they were both like,
okay.
And it reminded me of the movie poster.
I think it's supposed to represent Cabaret, but okay. Which is another musical.
Okay. I mean, they are singing, so it is musical.
So because it's a musical, like, they're both musicals, that means they're the same.
What?
That's what you're implying.
No, I was just asking, I was like, what is this reminding me of? Like,
oh,
just this with the costume and the singing and all that. I was like, what is this? And it was
so, like, because they have costumes and singing?
Specifically, like, the black hat.
That's just like me comparing this movie to Moulin Rouge.
I'm talking about, okay.
You see what I'm saying, though?
They'll get it. I don't think they will. You make me mad.
I think you make yourself mad.
No, you just like, you don't really understand me. You don't see my vision.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
So next we see the students sneak out of Shiz. We then cut to Elphaba waking up Madame Marvel to ask her for a favor. Back with the Shiz students, we see Fiero give Glinda a cute flower as Bok and Nessa join them. Next, we are down at the Oz Dust Bowl, and an animal band is bopping, and everyone is dancing.
So I just want to say, if I found out from my professor that they let me into their super special class that I wanted to go to so bad, and the only reason, and I thought it was because they recognized me, and they were like, oh no, it's that person you hate, and I don't know this, but you made fun of them, and you tried to embarrass them tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they, for some reason, they just were nice, and they did that for you, and they put in a good word.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they're like, oh, and I think she's, like, on her way in right now, and I see Elphaba, my heart drops to my fucking ass.
I know.
I would have shit myself. Like, no bullshit, I would have shit myself.
The one time you're actually mean to somebody and it just backfires on you, you're like...
Like, seeing her, like, get made fun of from everybody, I would have, like, probably gone to the bathroom and shot myself.
Oh, you... Kristen, oh my god, get over yourself.
I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll.
Christian's like, oh my god, you getting bullied is making me feel bad.
Like, oh my god, your life sucks. I would hate to be you.
That's what you sound like
right
now.
I know, but like, really, I'd be like, literally, I would be like, oh my god.
Just
the tragically beautiful there. Over there, sorry, the tragically beautiful girl sitting there in the chair. Sorry, I'm high. I got
it's
my
okay.
words mixed up.
No, it's all right.
The tragically beautiful there.
In the chair.
I'm taking your sheep. You're coming with me. Oh.
I think he's a goat. I think he's a ram, actually.
Oh, well, I thought it was a sheep because it looks like.
Is he not? Do rams not have those little horns right there?
Oh, are those horns? I thought they were your ears.
No.
Oh, yeah, they're horns.
Yeah, it's a little ram. I got one of those sunny angels, you guys. I'm addicted to these little things. They're so cute.
They're like,
just look it up.
Well, I was going to say, what are those stuffed animal bears that people used to collect in the 90s?
Oh, Beanie Babies?
Beanie Babies, or those like those angel children that like old people have in their homes. You know the ones.
The
cartoony.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those.
Yeah, literally. They're so, literally the vibe. Yeah, I love it.
In 60 years, like connected to our like fucking nursing home life support monitor, there's going to be like five of those things.
I know, I'm excited.
Like, yeah.
I can't wait. You think we're going to get in a nursing home?
There's not even going to be a house.
No, for real. We're going to run out of our subscription for air.
At the time of recording this, for whatever reason, the European Ice War is trending on Twitter right now. And yeah, that'd be me. I'd die in some future war. Awesome.
Sorry.
Okay. Sorry. Me too.
Why is being alive suck?
Because it's just a constant. Like, because like, no matter what, like, every day is just... You trying to be alive.
Oh my god.
You know? Like if you just stop, like you die.
No, for real.
Like, and no one wants it to just like stop, you know?
Well, I still wish we could just be leisure, you know?
Yeah. I wish I didn't have to work as much.
Mm-hmm.
I would totally record more often.
Yeah.
If I got paid the same and only worked 20 hours a week, mm-hmm. I'd totally like record, find another hobby.
Mm-hmm. Everyone deserves to be happy. And I really hate that like so many like shitty circumstances create shitty people. You know, we're all trying to survive. And I hate that like the stressfulness and the anger of that gets taken out on like women and children, and like the children grow up in that environment and create like more like cycles of that, you know?
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And it just makes me so sad because it's like, they don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows anything.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone just thinks it's normal. Everything thinks everything is normal. No, that is not normal. That feeling that you're getting in your tummy means that's not normal. I don't know.
I agree.
Thanks, Sam. So if you're in Glinda kiss with Bach watching as the girl he really likes falls into another man's arms.
Bach's like, damn.
Bach tries to take this opportunity to explain to Nessa what his intentions are, but as soon as he sees Glinda kiss Fiero, he's like, I might as well entertain this thing with Nessa and ask her to dance.
Cause you are so beautiful.
I think you are wonderful. I just wanted to say, I've also seen the SpongeBob musical in it, and whenever he talks, it really jumps out of him. It really does.
Because in case you didn't know, mm-hmm. Ethan Slater also plays SpongeBob.
I think we said it like 5 times already.
What about SpongeBob?
Next, we see Madame Morble arrive with her award-winning Oscar.
Well, we're getting there.
What do you mean? She won her Oscar when they were filming that. Do you remember when they leaked that and she came back with it and they were all clapping for her?
Oh, right.
At the Ozdust and asked to speak with Glinda privately. Glinda tries to butt kiss, but Madame Morble stops her and hands her a training wand.
I'm not here for that.
Glinda thanks her for having faith in her, but Madame Morble, being the realist, tells her that she does not think Glinda has it in her, and that it was Elphaba that convinced her to do this, and that if she didn't, then Elphaba would quit, and she can't lose Elphaba.
And so Madame Morble tells Glinda that she hopes that Glinda proves her wrong, and she's like, but you can thank Elphaba. I hear, like, she's coming in, like, right now. And
she's like just arrived,
literally, and we see Elphaba arrive, and she's like, she looks excited to like join the party, but as soon as like she walks towards the dance floor, everyone is just like starting to like stop and stare at her,
mm-hmm.
and eventually they start laughing at her, and she's like, okay, I'm just gonna keep walking, and everyone just keeps pointing and laughing at her,
mm-hmm.
and she sees Glinda with her training wand, and they both kind of just look at each other, and like, by mind you, Nessa doesn't even say anything this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she does, but like, she's like, oh, I can't watch.
She doesn't say anything to help her sister.
Oh, yeah, well, that's what I was trying to say. Like she doesn't say anything to help Elphaba. And so Elphaba, like, kind of, she's like, she realizes it's the hat, and she puts it down, like, the middle of the dance floor.
She doesn't realize it's the hat.
Well,
that they're making fun of?
I think she does.
Oh.
I think she does.
Okay.
Because she's wearing what she would normally wear. She's just also wearing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, and she starts to like kind of walk off, but instead she just kind of starts like dancing by herself. And so, I don't know, you could be right, but that's just what I interpreted.
No, that's fair.
About that. But then the crowd is like kind of mostly confused and laughing. And like, Fiero's like, oh, wow. And she doesn't seem to care what people think, which, yeah, it's kind of her whole character. Glinda, she's like, no, she cares. She just pretends not to.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then Elphaba, like, puts her hat back on, and Fiero's like, and Glinda tells Fiero, she's like, oh, I feel awful. And Fiero's like, why? It's not you who did that.
Ooh.
And so Glinda, like, kind of goes up to Elphaba on the dance floor, and Elphaba at first is, like, kind of confused, but then Glinda starts, like, copying what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, I went into this like having never seen Wicked, so I was like, wow, she's just bold as hell making fun of her in front of her face, huh?
You thought that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think that.
Okay. And so she starts like doing the dance that Elphaba was doing and doing her best. And Glinda's friends are like, what are you doing? Stop.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no. Mm-hmm. And so her and Elphaba continue to like dance together, and then the whole sequence like grows, and like more people kind of like join mm-hmm. in on the dance, mm-hmm. and the two like girls end up hugging as dancing through life like picks back up, mm-hmm. and the girls end up like leaving the club mm-hmm. together.
Yeah, hand in hand. What did you think of that whole scene, Christian?
I thought it was cute.
Oh my god, there wasn't a dry eye in that theater. Like, I was a mess when I watched that part.
You were like,
I know. Alphabet just wanted to be understood. Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
We deserve each other. And so next we see Glinda and Alphaba like getting ready for bed, but still like talking at like their friends now. Mm-hmm. And Glinda like offers to play a little game. He's like, well, since we both can't sleep, mm-hmm. let's tell each other a secret. Mm-hmm. And Glinda's like, okay, I'll go first. Fiora and I are going to get married. Alphaba's like, oh, he asked you already? Glinda's like, oh, he doesn't know that yet. and so Glinda then like prompts like Alphaba to tell her a secret, and Alphaba's like, oh, I mean, I'm not sure what I can say that's a secret. And Glinda points out, she's like, okay, what about the green bottle that you sleep with underneath your pillow? And Alphaba's like, oh, it's nothing. But they kind of like wrestle for it mm-hmm. for a little bit, but then like Glinda takes it but then like gives it back, and Alphaba's just like, oh, it was my mom's. Mm-hmm. It's my mom's. And Glinda tells Alphaba, she's like, that's not fair, I told you a really good secret. She goes like and sulks or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she like looks at Alphaba. By the way, our kid pulls this exact same thing, by the way. She'll like get mad and walk off and like look back to see if we're looking, and if we look at her, she'll just turn her head back around. She's so funny. She does it when she was freaking out in the living room that one day when I sent the video over. Mm-hmm. She literally like the and like after I stopped recording, I went to like go send it to you, and she just looked up at me, and I looked at her, and she put her head back down, like literally did it like right there. Look what you did! Look what you did!
What did I do?
You made that.
So you also made that.
In a way, in a manner of speaking. In a manner
of speaking. She's very you. She's very.
But that was you.
Very water coated.
That was you.
Well, you.
Okay, just because I'm a water sign doesn't mean that I have to do with that. I think that's her earth sign taking over, actually. Guess our star signs. If you correctly guess our alignment.
We'll send you free weed.
You can't, like, mail weed, by the way. I was wondering, like, can you mail weed?
People do it all the time.
I'm sure people do it all the time. But, like, people mail bombs all the time. Doesn't mean they get... You know, people mail like anthrax.
That's insane.
Like, people mail guns. Do you know how many mail crimes there are? Dude, the Postal Service has its own like secret service, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's like Postal Service cops, mm-hmm. like, straight up. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Alphaba confesses to Glinda that her father hates her, but that's no big secret. But the real secret is that he has a very good reason to. Alphaba explains that it's all her fault, and Glinda listens intently and asks Alfie what's her fault. Alphaba explains that the reason her little sister is in a wheelchair is because of her. And it was at this point I thought she was going to tell like a horrible story of where her powers literally, like get then, out of and control.
And then she told like what actually happened. I'm like, how the fuck is that your fault?
And literally... So Alphaba explains that her parents wanted to avoid her little sister turning green as well, so her father made their mother chew milk flowers twice a day, to the point that when she gave birth to Nessa too early, she couldn't wake up and Nessa became paralyzed. Which is insane to put on a child, man.
So what's up with milk flowers? Mm-hmm. Does a book explain that?
No, she actually lived 5 years after Nessa. They have a little brother. Huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think his name is Skull or something like that.
But like, we don't want to include that.
But anyway, Alphaba also blames herself for this, but Glinda is quick to tell her that it's not true and that it was the milk flower that did all that. And she also adds, this may be Alphaba's secret, but that doesn't make it true. Which must be so refreshing for Alphaba to hear someone say, like, a little weight lifted off of her shoulders.
That's not your fault, bro.
Yeah. Glinda notices that it's tomorrow and tells Alphaba that she's going to call her Elfie from now on, and that they're best friends and that they're going to do a makeover. So, I love makeover montages as a kid, bro.
For like a solid month after this movie came out, I stumbled onto Gelfie TikTok, which mm-hmm. have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've heard of Gelfie, yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Mm-hmm. Really great artist out there.
I bet. I see it on Tumblr all the time.
I always got it on TikTok. Like, there's this one channel, or channel, account. That's how old I am. There's this one account that, like they have, like, all different kinds of art stuff, and then they have, like, since shifted to only doing, like, that, because it's what goes well, and people are still watching, apparently.
Gosh. So, we see Glinda start to sing about how nice she is to help people who need makeovers because she knows exactly what they need. She takes off Elfie's glasses. And she takes off Elfie's glasses, but she changes her mind and tells her to keep them on. Glinda reassures Elfie that she's going to make her popular. And I love that Glinda's like, okay, we're going through all my stuff. Also, banger song.
Mm-hmm.
Elfie thinks this won't work. Glinda tells her not to think that way because her whole life is going to change thanks to her.
Mm-hmm.
She even educates Elfie about popular politicians. We see Glinda teach Elfie her iconic hair toss, but Elfie just isn't nailing it. So they move on to wardrobe. With Glinda's training wand, they will change Elfie's coat into a ball gown, which also fails because Glinda can't do it. Glinda's like, okay, let's just start a little smaller. She sets Elfie down and put a cute little pink flower in her hair, and she tells her pink looks good in green.
Mm-hmm.
This makes Elphaba laugh as she corrects Glinda, but Glinda just agrees. They both look at each other in the mirror, but Glinda tells Elphaba that she's beautiful, and we can see the tears swelling in her eyes.
Oh my gosh.
Elphaba is like, I have to go, and leaves in a hurry. The bi panic exit.
Mm-hmm.
Glinda is a little confused but yells after Elphaba that she is welcomed before getting distracted by her reflection. Glinda sings about how Elphaba is going to protest and say all this beneath her, but if Glinda has anything to do about Elphaba, we'll have to grin and bear it, her new found popularity. And I love
popular.
I love Ariana Grande's little dance through the hallway. Modern day Twilight thing. Do you know what I'm talking about with Twilight the kick? Yeah, it's the modern day Twilight kick.
Oh, what's that from?
That's what I'm saying.
No, what's the Twilight kick?
Oh, where Alice is going like this with a baseball bat.
Oh my god. I thought you meant like I just imagined like Bella fighting or something.
No. Glinda no, then
it's the baseball scene.
Glinda then finishes her song about Elphaba being popular, but not as popular as her.
Can I say something controversial?
Go for it. This is like, a safe space.
I feel like a lot of Twilight fans will watch the movie up until the baseball scene and then kind of tune out.
What? No. Why would we?
Mm. Mm.
It sounds like you're just speaking from experience.
No.
You tune out.
It's the only scene I see people ever talk about the movie.
Because it was cool.
Okay. So, it was cool. Like, that's not why you went to go see the movie, though, is it?
Okay. Next, we see Elphaba with her hair down, and people are even saying hi to her now. We see her stop to practice her hair toss. Glinda taught her, but Fiero catches her. Yeah, literally.
He sees her do that, by the way.
Yeah.
I would have started laughing.
No, he literally says that she's been Glindified. He tells her that she doesn't need to do that, and he tells her to hurry. It's time to get to class. Oh,
it's time to get to class.
Next scene, we see students arrive in Dr. Dillerman's class, and Elphaba even tries to hand him some poppies, but he tells her not now, that it's an urgent business to address in class. Oh my god, do you remember those pictures of, like, all of them in that poppy field?
Oh yeah.
Remember when they released those pictures of Wicked when they see the poppy fields of everyone, like, being together? Like, Bach, Nessa Rose... Glinda, Fear.
Was this like a real, like, was this like a cast photo or were they?
Like, yeah, it was like a cast photo and they were in the poppy field.
Oh, it was a real poppy field?
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure like that's like a deleted scene. They went to go pick flowers.
Oh, yeah.
Sometime between then and there.
Between Wicked and.
No, between then and there because she about to give them to Dr. Moon.
So I don't like, by the way, how we already know the name of the sequel.
Wicked for Good?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because not only do I not like it,
I don't like Wicked for Good either. Wicked Part 2 is fine.
Wicked Part 1 and Wicked Part 2. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, we don't need to overcomplicate this.
Yeah. So, after the class quiets down, Dr. Dillerman tells everyone that today is his last day at Shiz.
If I was a professor, I would also be like, y'all, I got fired.
Whoa. All the students are gagged as Dillerman explains that animals are no longer allowed to teach. Elphaba is the most shook by this news, and Diliman tries to reassure her that he will be all right when a whistle is sounded in the middle of class, and a bunch of guards come in with the head of Shistris in tow to calm the students as the guards...
Because Shistris in chief.
Literally, as the guards violently take Dr. Diliman away. Elphaba tries to stop this, same with Fiera, who also stands up, but are stopped by the head Shistris as she tells Elphaba not to cause any trouble. Also, this is so traumatizing. Oh my goodness.
We're there, by the way.
Huh?
Like, audience?
Yeah.
We're there.
Yeah, it's so scary. And it's just like... Like, what do you... Like, what... Like, what do... Like, I just don't know what to do. You know?
Yeah.
As a minority, I'm just like, how far can I go, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm getting shipped in that box, though.
Later, y'all.
I was literally telling Jamie, I was like, I think we're going to stay and fight. I think we're going to fight. I think we're going to...
Yeah, I don't think this ends peacefully, by the way. Like, that's not me wishing for it, but like...
We're all going to die!
some of you may die. That's it.
That's crazy.
Some of you may die.
I even said something about this. Elphaba asked the class, because after Dr. Diliman is taken away, by the way, in the book, he is like straight up murdered. He is straight up murdered.
Spoiler. The book came out 20 years ago.
Elphaba asked the silent class, she's like, are we just going to seriously sit down and not do anything? And I literally hate people who do nothing, because at the end of the day, they hope someone will do that for them, but they're just pussies to do it for, like, someone else.
Elphaba's silent ass.
Not Elphaba being silent. She literally asked the class. Glinda, she made them, Glinda's like,
silent ass.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
That's what I meant to say, Glinda, my bad. Their names sound, both end in They got that sound.
All the students just sit back down.
So mad. What? Back in high school, there was, like, a meme or whatever that was like, man, I can't stand girls whose names end in, like, an sound. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what does that mean? I'm like, what does that mean?
I'm offended.
I was just like, they're making fun of you, bro. You gonna take that? You gonna let those onliners take that? Just stand up for yourself.
That's crazy.
Oh, girls unite.
All the students just sit back down as the head Shistris just tells Elphie to sit back down. Elphaba does, and Glinda even comforts her.
Yeah.
As the Shistris is like, OMG, you guys will have a new history teacher that has prepared a new presentation.
And then a presentation, by the way, is, oh, by the way, this is what we're going to do to your professor.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
We're going to put him in a box.
Oh, my God.
Somebody put you in a box floating down the river, Grandma.
So basically, it's a cage with a little lion.
It's a cage.
In it. Yeah. Yep. He tells the student that this cage and that it's an invention for the good of Oz and all the animals. Elphaba then questions if it's so good for the animal, why is he trembling? The new teacher tells her that the cub is just happy to be here.
Happy to be here.
The new teacher explains that the students that since the cub is in a cage, it will never learn to speak.
If you cage them young enough.
And I said easier to abuse when they can't cry out for help. Mm-hmm. This gives Elphaba a vision of Dr. Diliman in a cage. And when she snaps out of it, she asks Glinda if she can imagine a world where animals are kept in cages and that they never learn to speak. And that is probably why the cub is so scared and asks what they're going to do. Fiero's like, sorry, we. She tells him that somebody has to do something. And in frustration, slams down all the poppies they picked for Diliman. And the pollen like sprays everywhere and makes everyone in the room fall asleep except for Fiero and Elphaba. And I also thought it was odd that he wasn't affected, but then someone told me why, and I was like, oh, okay.
Why?
It's because he's the scarecrow, right?
He's not the scarecrow now. I don't know. He's still a Winky. Oh. Or Winky's immune to poppies or something?
Maybe. I guess I'll find out.
Is that only like a Munchkin thing?
Mm-hmm. It's not a Munchkin thing because Nessa and Bach fell asleep.
I mean, they're not really Munchkins, though.
Yes, they are.
Bach's a Munchkin, but like...
Nessa is a Munchkin. She's a Munchkinlander.
Okay.
Munchkinland is a place, honey.
Well, aren't the Munchkins also like the smaller like people? Like
they can be. Does that mean like it's mutually exclusive? Does that mean it's mutually exclusive?
I mean, everyone in when Dorothy crashed that house was like.
So just because you saw a representation of what That was like, you think all of them
just
come
because
from
I
there?
Saw the entire town come out and they were all like,
that's just one version of it.
That's okay.
You're just assuming.
I'm not assuming.
Yes,
shit.
You are. That's a generalization.
That's not a generalization. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whatever.
Alphabet and Fiero are a little confused, but then Fiero springs into action and gets the cub out of his cage and asks Elfie if she's coming. Next, we see the two leaving campus grounds as they ride off
and
with the cub
you will
on the bikes.
Be my bird, George.
I'll get you and your little dog too. Did you like the Wizard of Oz referenced here?
Yeah,
I thought it was cute too. Next, we see Madame Morble arrive to the history class to see everyone asleep, and she knows it was Alphaba and shows a little small smile. We then see her writing a letter to the wizard.
You could be like, how could she know that it was Alphaba? And then you could also look at who's the only like student missing right now.
So. She wasn't the only student missing. Back with Alphaba and Fiero, we see that they have stopped to get the cub a drink of water as Fiero asks why she causes so much trouble. She tells them that she doesn't cause them, she just is trouble. Fiero agrees and Elfie is ready to get argumentative and ask if he'd rather she keeps her mouth shut.
No,
she asks him if she wants to be this way. She then starts to say that she knows her life would be easier. Fiero interrupts and asks if she ever lets anyone else talk. Fiero is ready to say his piece, but Alphaba interjects one more time before he can get a word in, which is, I said me, coded.
Something truly wicked. I had you dying.
Anyway, Alphaba tells him that no matter how shallow and self-absorbed he presents to be, Fiero cuts her off and tells her, oh, I don't pretend. I actually am that shallow and self-absorbed.
I actually am an asshole.
Alphaba then clocks him by saying if that were true, then he wouldn't be so unhappy. The two just stare at each other, and Fiero says, fine, if you don't want my help, and goes to walk away. But she grabs his hand and is like, no, I do need your help. And they both kind of stand there as they both are reminded that the cub exists.
Yeah.
Next, we see the class wake up and Glinda realizes that her roomie and her boyfriend are gone.
Oh my god.
That's weird.
That's suspicious. That's weird.
Back with Fiero and Alphaba, Fiero asks what did she mean to do back in the classroom and why was he the only one that it didn't affect. Alphaba says Alphaba doesn't say anything except to tell Fiero that he's bleeding. She touches him and he lets her hand stay there and she even rubs the thumb. Ooh. She tells him that the cub must have scratched him and he agrees and they just stare at each other. Fiero is the first to pull away as he tells Elfie that he has to take the cub to safety. We see him take the cub and blend in with the foliage. Alphaba starts to go after him, but she stops herself and sings about this feeling so sudden and new. And wants that feeling, but she's not that girl. She sings to herself about not fantasizing too much on what happened between them because he could be that boy, but she is not that girl. We see Alphaba back at school as she continues the song and how she compares herself to Glinda and how she can't be that girl. Alphaba watches Glinda and Fiera reunite as she sings about not wishing and wanting, but she knows a girl who is exactly like that, so it makes sense why Fiera would pick her in her mind. Fiero looks back behind him while everyone else is pulling him forward. Is he looking for Alphaba too?
Oh my god. And so we see Alphaba being like called from her balcony by Madame Morrible. And she tells
him. This is a new day, by the way.
Yeah, next day. Mm-hmm. She's like, a letter from Emerald City has arrived for you. Mind you, it hasn't actually arrived yet, but it's on the way. And so she gets down there just as the letter arrives. And Alphaba reads the letter and says, His Royal Ozness, the wonderful wizard of Oz, summons you most ceremoniously to his personal palace in the Emerald City. This invitation is non-transferable.
Mm.
So Alphaba like hugs Madame Morrible and Glinda, but Morrible pulls away to like remind Alphaba. She's like, this is your chance to like to make good, but you have to prove yourself first. And she's like, what? She's like, oh no, it's fine. Like, you know, I did do the same thing and whatever. And but you'll find a way because I have faith in you. And she's like, okay, whatever that means. And it starts to rain kind of, and Madame Morrible was like, oh, let me just shoo that away.
Mm-hmm.
And she sends the rain away. And Alphaba, so Alphaba doesn't get wet. And she's like, you can't get wet, not now, when we're on the cusp of greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And is it just me, or is Madame Morrible the one who caused the drought?
Ooh, think about it.
I remember I told you that. For some of you were like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. 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 So Elphaba, by the way, from this point on, like, movie goes fast as hell. Really? Dude, it is so fast.
You think so?
Well, look at your notes. Like, we spent all our time in Chiz, and like in less than 10 pages of notes, the movie wraps up.
That's crazy.
Like, you know? This is page 24 out of 33 now, by the way. And so we see the train like pull up. Train looks like it doesn't look like it fits. You know what I mean? Like in Oz.
Really?
Like it looks like Oz, I think up to this point has looked like very like nature-esque. Mm-hmm. And you just have this big like gear thing, mm-hmm. like a gear mechanical thing just moving. Oh,
it's very like steampunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the messenger thing that brought the letter too is the mm-hmm. same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very much like
I said in my notes, it's very for show.
Very for show. Mm-hmm. And so, but we see the train pull in to take Elphaba to the Emerald City with all the Shiz students saying goodbye. And even like Governor Throp is like there because, you know, Nessa is introducing Bok to her dad. Mm-hmm. And her dad tells Bok, like, oh, Nessa is very precious to me. You know, I want to make sure that you'll take good care of her. And Bok's like, oh, yeah, I understand. Like, totally, totally. And so back with Elphaba, Glinda runs up to her. And she's like, oh, Conductor looks funny with his mustache. You must come see him. And Glinda is like, oh, how will you all manage with, or how will we all, like, manage without you, you know? And Elphaba is like, oh, you know, you have Fiero. And she's like, where is he actually? And she's like, not that I expected him to say goodbye or anything. But Glinda's like, oh, you know, I barely know him anymore. He's just been different. He's been distant and moody, and he's been thinking, which really worries me, because we'll get there. Mm-hmm. We'll get there. Without a brain, perhaps. But then she tells Elphaba, like, oh, this all started after Dr. Dillman got dragged out of class. And then we see Fiero finally, like, show up. Mm-hmm. And Glinda's like, oh, come over here. And Fiero, like, tells Elphaba, he's like, oh, I'm happy for you. And he's trying to, like, not look her in the eye. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm happy for you. And the pair, like, keep, like, kind of looking at each other, but mm-hmm. kind of not. And Glinda clocks this, and she's like, oh, my gosh. Me too, you guys. let me, like, make this about me, mm-hmm. you know? And so she's like, everyone, I have an announcement. To everyone on the platform, which I know you're all so eager to hear. I am changing my name. And since Dr. Dillman used to have his own goat-like way of pronouncing her name, in solidarity and in order to express my outrage, I will henceforth be known as, no longer be known as Galinda, but simply Glinda. And everyone's like, so brave.
Such braverism. I think that's how white people.
Like, you're wonderful,
Christian. And that's how the white people felt when they were posting the little black squares.
And Bok's like, you're wonderful, and Nessa is just like, what, and like rolls away. What? And so Fiero and Elphaba like kind of smile at each other, and he hands her like a single poppy flower and says good luck. Mm-hmm. And Glinda tries to reach out for Fiero, but he walks off. And Glinda tells Elphaba, she's like, oh, see, this is what I mean. He's acting different. And Elphaba tells Glinda not to worry. And you know, everyone loves you regardless of what your name is. And so Glinda's like, I don't care. I want him. I don't know. I don't think he's perfect anymore, but I still want him. I wonder how other people bear this. Because she's not normal. And this makes Elphaba laugh a little bit when the train conductor like calls for all aboard. And the Shiz students cheer as Elphaba waves goodbye from the train. And I'm like, they're cheering because you're leaving. but her and Glinda have a moment where they're like, oh, like they kind of like, it's a callback to their Oz Dust thing. You know, they put their hand up to their head and, you know, like the dance.
The wave.
The chicken wave. Thing. I thought it was like a rooster. Because she, you know, she lives on Munchkin Land. It just looks like farm country.
Okay.
You know? They got farms mm-hmm. and stuff mm-hmm. and animals.
Yeah.
Animals. Blah, 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 blah. But then but Glinda then kind of like runs after the train a little bit and mm-hmm. she's like, oh, I saved this pamphlet or whatever of the city or whatever. It's like a note or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever it is. And Elphaba opens it, and Glinda put a note in there that says, like, oh, I hope you get what your heart desires, Galinda. with her original name. And so Elphaba tells her, she's like, come with me. And she's like, get on the train. And Glinda's like, what? Like, no, what? No, I couldn't possibly. There's no way I can. Okay, I'm coming. Yeah. And she just like hops on the train. And then they both kind of make it to the front of the train and enter the city as we get a little song about what to do when you only have one short day.
One short day.
In the Emerald City. What do you think? What do you think about this song?
I love this song.
I love this song more than I liked Dancing Through Life.
Yeah.
Dancing Life is good, but I just like One Short Day.
One Short Day is good.
What kind of emerald weed y'all got out here?
Oh my god. You know, like... Elphaba sings about how tall the buildings are, and Glinda sings about how about salons and how they're 100 strong. We've seen them go to that salon and get their nails done. They even stop to look at the Emerald City players as they reenact how the wizard came to be. We then get the OGs. The OG Wicked. We get Christian Chenoweth and Idina Menzel.
Let's go.
They do, this honestly shocked me in theaters. I was like, I thought it was a little fan servicey, but like the more I listen to it, I just like the more fun it is, you know? Yeah. I'm glad it was there. Did you think it was fan servicey?
Yeah, I mean, didn't we have the guy who wrote Wicked? Wasn't he also in?
I don't know. I think the guy who played Fiera was also in it.
Well, not in this scene, but just in the movie.
Oh, I don't know. I've just my sister. She'd know.
I'm just going to look up Wicked cameos. Your turn.
Turns out anyone that could read the Grimoire all died out. Mm-hmm. But they left a prophecy that was like, yeah, someone someday will be able to read it. One day, a man in a balloon came down and said some strange words.
I was thinking of Stephen Schwartz, who was the composer of the musical.
Mm-hmm. Was he in it?
He's the guard who announces like
the wizard will see you now. The wizard
will see you now, yeah. Winnie Holtzman, she's in a crowd. And she I can't remember who like she plays, but she's in the crowd. And then there's Michael McCory Rose, and I guess he understudied Fierro on Broadway.
Mm.
And then yeah, a couple others. Carrie Ellis and Diane Pilkington, who also played Elphaba and Glinda.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'd be so mad if I were them and like Idina Menzel and them, like everyone was talking about them. I was like, I also was on Broadway.
Yeah, but that was for the real ones. Those are for the realist. Those little Easter eggs, those are for the realist. And I'd be more proud to be part of that.
Also, Oklahoma legend, Kristen Chenoweth, by the way.
She's from Oklahoma?
Yeah. Didn't,
hell yeah. Didn't know. No.
She's got like a whole like museum and shit up in Tulsa.
That's amazing.
She was born in Broken Arrow, but she went to Oklahoma City University. Like
whenever I was younger and I would get on like Tinder or whatever, all the hot guys would be from Broken Arrow.
I am so sorry for you. yeah, she literally went to that college like down the road from us.
That's amazing.
Oklahoma City, yeah.
I think you told me that.
You're. She also married to Josh Bryan.
That's amazing. So anyway, this man comes down in a balloon. He says some strange words. Omaha.
Omaha. It's hair didn't realize it, but I was like, you know, he's saying like, he's saying whatever like the wizard said when he arrived, which is Omaha.
No, because I said, oh, like Nebraska? And you were like, yeah.
So that's where he's from. Because that's where he was at the county fair.
Oh my god. So he must be reading the Grimoire, which must mean he must be a wizard. The OGs sing about how since the wizard became the wizard, everyone lives in peace. And they continue to sing how awesome he is. And I said as a note, I love the propaganda of this and how the only rules of Emerald City is how to make it merrier. Do you get it?
Merrier.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Was that again?
I said, what did I say? I love the propaganda of this, how the only rules of Emerald City is how to make it merrier.
Oh, right.
We then see both Elphaba and Glinda walk up to the palace gates as they tell each other.
What do they tell each other?
They tell each other that they are best friends having one short day as the wizard will see them now. The two then make it inside and they are met with monkey guards as they go deeper and deeper into the palace.
Monkey guards.
I would just like to say there's a stark difference from the vibe inside the palace than outside. Like everything was so bright and colorful and in here is just dark and spooky and you're like, oh my god, what is happening?
So one of the key like things about fascism, and because I mentioned this is a fascist movie, is that, and people always point out like, oh, they don't have like homelessness. They have like clean streets and all the buildings look nice, you know, and it's because like that's the point. They want everything to look nice. It doesn't actually have to be. Like, and that's why it's like, it's a Potemkin village, you know, or whatever. Like, you have like these really nice buildings or whatever, and they're painted like super nice on the inside, and on the outside, and on the inside, they're all like run down and shit, but they look nice, you know, and he doesn't really care how it looks on the indoors. He wants Oz to feel happy and good that they live in the great Emerald City. And so he makes everything like bread and circuses outside for them. He doesn't really give a shit what his lair looks like, you know?
I don't know. I think he just wanted it to be, like, intimidating, because he's not a real...
Intimidating.
Why did you look at me like I'm stupid?
Well, do you remember what we were talking about earlier? That Brendan Lee Mulligan quote, it's like, oh, laws are threats of violence from the government or whatever. Like, oh, if you don't do this, you will get hurt, you know? Like... So intimidating. Like, he wants like to remind people subtly, like, oh, I'm still in charge, by the way.
That's crazy.
Like, just because I make things look nice, don't forget that, like, I'm still here. I'm always going to be here.
That's crazy.
I'm the Wizard of Oz.
They both stop at the door that has the wizard inside, and Glinda senses that Elphaba is scared. She tells her...
Oh, sorry. Also, if you want to go one step further, he's the man behind the curtain. You know, the curtain where you see this fantastical, magical wizard, and just a dude back there, but it looks nice. Know what I mean? Like the big floating head.
Do you get off on mansplaining?
I love mansplaining. You ask me all the time, like, Christian, you need to put more of your thoughts into this.
Like, yeah, but you make it seem like a way that you're like, oh, do you know about this? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to tell it anyway.
I know,
like,
you know,
but they don't talk about this. Okay, but the they don't know that.
That's why I'm saying it.
You have to tell them that you're talking to them.
That's what this conversation is.
So they both stop at the door that has the wizard inside, and Glinda senses that Elphaba is scared. She tells her to listen and that she can do this and that she can do anything.
I'd be like, I'm not going in there.
Which we see gives Elphaba a lot of hope and courage as they lock arms and walk into the wizard's domain together. So next we see the two girls walk into the room, and we see the drapes moving like something big is behind there. Glinda tells her to say something when they see a large face peer through the curtains. Elphaba tries to leave, but Glinda brings her back and brings her forward.
I'm sorry, I'm still not over Monkey Guard.
Oz then introduces himself theatrically, but it definitely scares the girls. Glinda tells Elphaba to say something, but she is a loss of words as even Oz demands that she says something. Elphaba steps up and introduces herself and Glinda. Oz is like, Elphaba, OMG girl, and steps out from the large head. The wizard and apologizes for frightening them, and he admits that people expect that type of thing from him.
And so the wizard's like, it's so good to see you here. And he does a little, like, sleight of hand magic. He, like, pulls a coin from her ear. It's the little things, because he wants it to look nice. It's the image that he puts on for people. And the wizard, like, introduces himself to the unexpected guest that Elphaba brought. And Glinda's like, oh, my name is Glinda, but because it's silent. It's just Glinda. And so, you're so funny.
Thank you.
But the wizard, he's like, he calls him over and he shows him like a little model of Oz that he built or whatever. And he's like, oh, see this path? You know, everything leads to the Emerald City. He's like, I'm having a hard time picking the color. There's just like a color switch. And Elphaba tries to pick, and Glinda's like, oh, yellow looks good on brick, you know? And they pick yellow on a whim. I hate shit like that in movies.
Really?
Just like, okay. I don't need to know why the bricks are yellow. They are yellow. It's Oz. Why wouldn't they be?
Yeah.
You know?
Would they be purple? Not the purple brick road.
It'd be weird if they were still yellow. You find out everyone in Oz is colorblind.
Oh.
That's why you guys dress like that.
Oh, just like one.
What were we talking about?
I'm sorry, go on. Oz tells the girls to join him up here from like the model that is at, and shows them this model palace that can open and shows the room they're in now. He even shows her a little alphaba that he made, and the wizard tells her to keep it and that he knows one day she'll be placing hers next to his. Glinda wants Alphaba to say something, but the only thing she says is that her doll is green. The wizard, taken aback by this, tells her that she doesn't have to be, and asks if that's her heart's desire. We see Alphaba think about it, but she tells him no, and that her real heart's desire is to help the animals, and that they need the wizard. The wizard says he agrees, and tells her that he feels like he knows her already. She tells him that makes her so incredibly happy. The wizard tells her that's what he does, and he sings about being a sentimental man. And I said in my notes, you can skip this song. He tells her that he always wanted to be a dad, so that's how he treats his citizens. And he wants to raise Alphaba high because everyone deserves a chance to fly.
To fly!
The wizard also sings about how he feels parental towards Alphaba because he's a sentimental man.
I wonder why.
Next, we see Madame Morble arrive, and the girls are so happy to see her, as Morble explains that she didn't want to miss Alphaba's moment.
I didn't want to miss your moment.
Morble points out that Glinda also couldn't miss out on it as well, which leaves Glinda speechless.
Like,
what did you think of that? I thought that was her. Was she being mean?
She wasn't expecting witnesses.
Oh, that's crazy. That's wild. Next we see a monkey guard pull off his blanket.
So funny.
I'm funny. That is a monkey guard.
I feel like you're easily impressed. I was like, oh, they don't want any witnesses, and you were like, oh.
Well, I never thought of that. Cause she's kind of like that in the book where like she kind of like she met Nessa Rose. And in the book, Nessa Rose doesn't have any arms. She can walk. But she has no arms.
Yeah, she told me that today, and I was like, you're lying.
No, she's very armless. And she
can walk, though.
And I guess they were talking about something, and Madame Marble was saying, like, oh, so-and-so, like, pedigree, but you girls wouldn't know anything about that now, would you? Or something like that. And it kind of, like, embarrassed both of them. So they kind of, like, Madame Marble, like, talks like that. Like
racially?
Like, she has, her insults are kind of very, like, undertone. Like, you have to, like, understand, like surface level, it's fine, but underneath it, like, you'll understand that kind of thing.
Okay.
So, Alphaba is shown the Grimoire, and she walks up to it, and we can all tell it's pretty powerful, because, you know, it's kind of glowing. Glinda asks Morble to touch it, and she tells her no. The wizard chimes in and asks if Alphaba is even ready for this. Morble says maybe he's right and that they should wait till Alphaba is ready. Alphaba tells him that she is ready and she wants to prove herself. She looks to Glinda, who nods and smiles, and she looks to Morble, who does the same. Oh. Alphaba walks up to the book and opens it up for herself, or the book it opens for her, and it turns to a specific page. We overhear what the wizard and Morble are talking about as he asks what spell Alphaba would do, but Morble tells him that they've been working on levitation, which excites the wizard. The wizard then tells Alphaba that the monkey guard would love to fly, and even thinks about the birds, and the monkey guard cannot talk, but through his eyes we can tell that this homie does not think about the sky. The Grimoire flips pages again, and Alphaba asks if those are even words. Morble explains that it's a lost language, and is not to be discouraged if she can't read it. She explains that it took her about 2 years to read only a word a year, or a word or two. Alphaba is like, okay, cool, but I got this, and starts reading as the wings on the book start to lifting from the page as the monkey guard wizards in pain. And if this were me, I think I would stop reading after the monkey was flipping out, but that's just me personally. We then all watch as this monkey gets transformed and has to rip off his own uniform. And I would just like to say that I was not expecting body horror when it came to this movie.
Oh, yeah, that's so scary.
I was terrified. Alphaba is horrified that her spell is hurting the poor monkey guard as he's turned into the first flying monkey. And if I were this monkey, I would have just taken off. I would have been like, I'm free.
Well, you all got to remember, he's enslaved the monkeys and he'll like.
No, I'm going to go fly to my village and fly them away. Duh.
They said they have their families.
Where?
I thought they said that, like in the movie.
Well, she said, if you want to keep your families protected.
Yeah, I see.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
They have their monkey family.
We see the monkey fly and then fall to the ground as everyone stares in wonder. Elphaba is the only one to ask how she can reverse the spell so that monkey won't be in pain anymore. Morble explains that a spell from the groomery can never be reversed. Then they start hearing screaming from the guard room as they all walk through to get to the wizard, and it was filled with monkey cards. Elphaba says no as she goes to see what damage she has done, as we see that the whole monkey guards are now all flying monkeys. Morble and the wizard are super excited about this as they say to each other that the monkeys will be perfect spies for the eyes of the skies. Elphaba walks away and the wizard tries to get her back by saying the monkeys will be scouts for seditious animal activity. Elphaba asks what that even means, and Glinda tries to make the situation better by pleading with Elphaba to hear the wizard out. Elphaba starts piecing together that not only was she used, but it's the wizard that is doing this to the animals. Morble tells her that it's to protect the citizens of Oz, and Elphaba is hella upset because it was Morble's the one who betrayed her. Can I just say, every time who I think is a friend or a safe space, but is revealed to be a racist, like, it is such, like, I know that feeling so well. Like, that hurt, that look on her face. Like, you know what I mean? You probably don't know what I mean. Yeah. Morble tells her that she will benefit too if she does what they say, but Elphaba backs up and tells them not to touch her. The wizard explains that before him that there was discord and discontentment, and back where he comes from, the best way to bring folks together is to have a common enemy. She asks why he didn't make the spies himself if that's what he wanted, but Elphaba's gears are turning and she asks because the wizard
read the grimoire
and to cast a spell, but he can't. Mm-hmm. She tells the wizard that he has no real power, and he tells her that is right. Which is why they need her. Morble tries again to touch Elphaba, but she tells her to stay back. Glinda even tells her to listen to them. The wizard then tries again to give Elphaba what he thinks she wants and even offers the same to Glinda, which she is all down for. Glinda says no and runs, and Glinda is about to go after her when Morble tells her to get Elphaba back, and Glinda takes off. We see the wizard go back to his best hiding spot, and Morble tells the flying monkeys that if they want their family safe, that they will stay loyal to the wizard. Mm-hmm. Morble tells the monkeys that Elphaba is the enemy because she made them like this, that they need to find her. The flying monkeys suddenly understand how their wings work as Morble walks off in slow-mo. You should see me in a crown. That's what that part reminded me of. Mm-hmm. Next, we see Elphaba run through this green castle. She stops when she sees something flying in the air. She looks out the window only to be met with really angry flying monkeys. Elphaba starts to run through this hallway with many windows as the monkeys try to smash their way in. Glinda is not that far behind her as she tries to convince her to come back to talk. Elphaba runs, and Glinda runs after her as the monkeys continue to pour in and even taking Glinda's cute little jacket. Next, we see the wizard work his contraption as he calls for his guards and tells them that Elphaba is a fugitive and that they need to find her and bring her to the wizard. Mm-hmm. Next scene, we see Elphaba and Glinda have reached this attic that houses this hot air balloon as Glinda asks what she's doing, and Elphaba just says up. We see the two girls keep climbing as the guards make their way to the room. Elphaba starts the hot air balloon as she asks Glinda to jump into the basket. As the guards get closer, she does, and Elphaba is able to pull her in, and Glinda safely makes it into the basket. Glinda has a little match with a guard who won't let go of her leg until she kicks him off and he falls to the ground. Both Elphaba and Glinda together make the balloon go higher. The guards start to close the top so that they can't escape. Glinda tells them to stop doing that as Elphaba tries to get the balloon to go higher, but instead, because of the pressure, the balloon pops and catches fire. Elphaba jumps off to the nearest platform and helping Glinda do the same as the basket falls into a fiery blaze. Next, we see the two girls make it into another room, and Elphaba quickly barricades the door as Glinda tells her to calm down and to let the wizard explain himself.
She's like, about that.
Glinda reminds her that this was everything she dreamed of and asks and why she couldn't have stayed calm instead of flying off the handle.
Flying off the handle.
Glinda sings that she hopes Elphaba is happy now and that she hurt her cause forever. Elphaba sings back and tells her that she hopes that Glinda is happy and proud of how she could grovel in submission to feed her own ambition. They both can't imagine how they're both, but they're both hope that the other is happy about their situation.
I hope you're happy right
We then get this broadcasting of Madame Warble as she addresses the citizens of Oz. She tells them that there is an enemy that must be found and captured.
A wicked witch.
She tells everyone to believe nothing she says because she has stolen the Grimmery and that she is evil and are responsible for the mutilation of these poor innocent monkeys.
Wicked witch.
Okay, so if Elphaba did come back and was like, okay, cool, I'm on your team now. Like, what kind of propaganda would they spend, like, to pull off
their name? Disregard. Disregard previous message.
I know, I was about to say, I literally put, or maybe they'll use the U.S. government tactic by simply just ignoring it.
I just bought my pitchfork.
No, for real.
Can I get this off my dactyls?
Yeah, literally.
I claim my
pitchfork. Did you see what I said? I said maybe they'll use the U.S. government tactic by simply just ignoring it and lying about what really happened.
Yeah, I don't think this ends peacefully, really. So Warble continues by saying, like, her green skin is but an outward manifestorium of her twisted nature. Elva can hear all of this, by the way.
Like, literally. I would have jumped. I would have jumped.
What would you do if someone said that about you? Warble continues by saying, this distortion, this repulsion, this wicked witch. Eight. What comes after seven? So Glinda grabs her hand and she's like, hey, don't be afraid. It's the wizard who should be afraid. And Glinda,
that's what Elphaba says. She's like, I'm not. It's the wizard who should be afraid. And I'm like, yes! Right.
And so Glinda tells her, like, all you have to do is say that you're sorry and you can solve everything you've ever wanted. And Elphaba's just like, are you hearing yourself right now? Mm-hmm. And like, Elphaba, like, she's like, I cannot want it anymore. Yes. You know. Okay, I thought I heard her. I'm sorry. So Elphaba's saying, she's like, something has changed within me. I'm done playing this game. You know, I'm tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is going to bring me down. Like, I still think about that.
What?
In a Kiki Palmer.
Oh my god.
Nobody bring me down.
Literally.
And so, also, the entire time she's singing, she's, like, looking for, like, an escape plan, you know? And that's when she finds the broom, by the way. We'll get there. But Glinda, she's like, I just want to help you, you know? You're being delusional. What would you do if you're, like, about to crash out someone, like, you're being delusional?
I would hit them. I would literally kill them. Like, that'd be my
fireball. Literally.
Literally. Elphaba sings that she's done with accepting limits because someone put them there, but until she tries, she won't really know. She continues to sing that for so long that she has been afraid of losing love, but if that's the price, then she doesn't want it as she walks up towards the next floor that she was eyeing. Elphaba looks out off the balcony that she is surrounded by palace guards. Elphaba runs back inside and pulls out the Grimmery to help her escape. Glinda pleads with her to stop as the guards try to barge in below. Elphaba stops and Glinda asks her where her wings, because that's the spell she was doing, and she guesses that Elphaba is not as powerful as she thinks she is. Below, we see the broom that Elphaba used to barricade the door come to life and rolls over and flies to her as Glinda watches. Elphaba takes the broom, solidifying what she has chosen to do. We also see the palace guards try to ram their way through. Back with Elphaba and Glinda, Elphaba asks Glinda to come with her and to think of what all they can accomplish together. Elphaba sings that they would be unlimited. They sing together about how together they can defy gravity. I like how Glinda says if they work in tandem, I'm not sure if she means alongside the wizard or separately to reach the same goal. Also, the harmony gives me goosebumps every time. Mm-hmm. Elphaba asks her again if she's coming, and through a long silence, Glinda tearfully tells Elphaba that she's trembling and goes to find her coat, but finds a cloak instead and ties it around her.
Like, blanket, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, just randomly. I think it's like just like, you know, those like coverings that they put over things so the thing itself doesn't get dusty.
Yeah.
Like, that's, yeah.
They both smile and chuckle at each other with tears in their eyes, knowing that they're accepting what the other has chosen.
Not me. I'm like, Glinda, class traitor.
Literally. Glinda backs away as Elphaba takes a few deep breaths and looks toward the west. Glinda sings to Elphaba and tells her that she hopes that she is happy choosing this. Elphaba smiles and tells Glinda she hopes the same for her and that they both live happy, or they both live not to regret it, and they both are happy in the end.
Yes.
When they see the guards finally break the door down, Elphaba, seeing them go after Glinda, tells them that she didn't do anything wrong and that she's the one they want.
She didn't do anything wrong. I'm the one you want. It's me. It's me. By the way, the audio quality in this scene is so bad. Oh my god. It's so bad.
Fuck you.
It is.
We see Elphaba leap and go straight through the window just while she's falling. Just
specifically that clip. Like, before she jumps off, mm-hmm. like, when between Glinda getting grabbed by the guard mm-hmm. and her jumping off the balcony, mm-hmm. between that, yeah, other than that.
Because it's me, that
leave,
part.
Leave her alone. I'm the one you want. It's me. It's me. Literally. Oh my god, like, it just upped her sensitivity on the mic.
We see Elphaba leap and go straight through the window, and while she's falling down, she remembers everything negative that has ever been told to her. As she looks at her falling reflection, she sees herself as a little girl, and she reaches out for Elphaba, and when Elphaba reaches out for her younger self, she's able to grab her broom and fly.
I like to imagine, like, in that fall, when she's seeing, hearing all the bad things happen to herself, mm-hmm. she has, like, that little glimpse of, like, Glinda going, ah! Like, when she first sees her.
She tells the guards that if they want to find her, they have to look to the western sky. She also sings that if she's flying alone, then at least she's free. She also uses the wizard's words by saying everyone deserves a chance to fly. She also sings about how people who want to ground her will hear her message about how she's defying gravity. I would also like to mention she's being chased by flying monkeys at this point while also singing this. We see Elphaba is able to confuse the flying monkeys by sending them straight into the guards. We see Elphaba fly high into the sky, seeing about how unlimited she is. We also see what is happening at Shiz, as Madame Warble's message has reached there. We see the students of Shiz hurriedly trying to leave as Bok looks out to the western sky. We see the message has also gotten to Munchkinland as Nessa Rose and her dad listen to Madame Warble. This takes a toll on Governor Thrupp as he falls over from a heart attack. We see Glinda be let go by the guards by Madame Marble command as Marble offers safety and hugs Glinda as she hugs her back.
So in the book, what happens to the governor?
Oh, I think he's still alive where I'm at.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you don't know. Oh, yeah, you're not there. Mm-hmm. Shame.
We see Fiero leave Shiz back with...
He's like, I'm out.
Literally. Back with Elphaba. She has more... things to say before she takes off and tells all the people still standing on the balcony at the Wizard's Palace.
By the way, I don't know if you know this yet, but like in the book, and spoiler for those watching, like skip ahead like 10 seconds, but like, dude, he joins like the Wizard's Gestapo, by the way.
Oh.
Like Fiero.
Really?
Straight up.
That's crazy.
Straight up.
Oh my god. So everyone on this balcony, like Glinda, Marble, guards, etc., she tells them that nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever going to bring her down. Glinda sings she hopes that Elphaba is happy. The guards sing that she's wicked and they have to kill her. The wizard is also watching and Elphaba is able to bring Emerald City into the dark.
Wicked.
We then see Elphaba fly away as Glinda is whisked away with Marble, but she keeps looking back. We see Elphaba smile as the wind and trees pass by her as she flies away to her now unlimited power. We cut to Be Continued and Fade to Black. The end. Woo! All right, Christian, what would you rate it?
What do you think about me giving this like a 9?
I was going to give it a 9 too.
Like, it's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
It's great. We literally rewatched it like the other day.
But I think honestly, that's like, it's okay for me to give something a 9.
No, it's like this movie gives me a lot of hope. Were you surprised how relevant it was?
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I couldn't believe that I was like, oh, we're really witnessing all of this right now. Like, all of this is so relevant to what we're going through right now. And honestly, it gave me so much hope for like, yeah, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this together. Like, we got this. And it gave me so much confidence moving forward because like before this movie, like I definitely was feeling some type of way. But then like after I was like, okay. And I think that was kind of the goal that everyone was, like, everyone worked so hard.
Also,
and I know everyone was making fun of, like, Cynthia and Ariana for like crying all the time, but like this movie is emotional and it's heavy, and a lot of emotion, a lot of work, and a lot of thought and care really went into this.
Plus the both of them have really wanted to play this role.
Yes, like their whole life. Yes. And it's just, it's so refreshing not only seeing a musical made for musical people, but it's so refreshing seeing people who are just as passionate for this said musical, because we have covered a movie that is a musical before when that passion is not there. Yeah, literally that passion is not there, and you're only doing it just to get awards. Okay.
And Apple Podcasts.
Were you shocked that Wicked didn't get as many awards as it did?
Not really, but also I'll get to that. But also, I want to say I think I said in the book, in the musical, Fiora joins like the wizards, like guard, or whatever it's called.
Oh, so they changed it.
Yeah, in the book, he does all sorts of like crazy shit. Like he's like, he's like the chieftain of some like group or something like that. I can't remember in the book. I watched an explainer on it a while ago, so I wasn't really paying attention to the book. I just wanted to know how the musical was. But yeah. Yeah, he joins the Wizard's Guard. But the other thing I was going to say, don't get me wrong. This movie was really enjoyable, but I think there was a lot of things they could have done better. And maybe that's asking for too much, but like, I don't think it could really compete. I think it did really well in terms of like star power on top of like, also like kind of being good for most part. But, like, I feel like that's, I don't think it was good enough to win, like, certain awards that it was nominated for. Like, Best Actress, sure. Like, Best Actress, I think it could have won. Best Supporting Actress, I think it could have won. Oh, my God. Wicked Oscars. I wanted to see what it got. Yeah, one, Best Production Design and Costume Design, which I think are valid. I have to know what all went into the production design decision, but I agree with costume design. It being nominated for Best Picture,
I liked it. It made me sad.
I liked it too. Best Picture?
Yeah.
Okay. Best Actress? Yeah, Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress, sure. Original Score, sure, I guess. But like, other than that, like there's a bunch of others, like Best Film Editing, Best Sound, Best Makeup, Best Visual, Best whatever. But like, I don't know. But like, I don't think it should have been nominated for Best Picture. I just think that's a line too far. Not that it's not good, but I think given that what actually won Best Picture was Anora, and another nomination was Conclave and The Substance and Dune Part Two, you know. Granted, there were some other misses on that list too, like Emilia Perez, a complete unknown. Nickel Boys, which is a movie I'd never even heard of until Oscar night. I'm Still Here and The Brutalist were also nominated. So like, Brutalist I understand, I just wasn't a big fan. But I honestly thought Conclave should have won. Anora was good. I watched it after it won the award and it kind of changed my opinion about it, but like, I don't think Wicked was not winning that. And my people were heartbroken on Oscar night.
I'm like, it was me. I was heartbroken.
Not just you. There were a lot of people. They're like, oh my God, no way they got snubbed. I'm like, that's not what snubbed means.
I know. That was pissing me off.
And I'm like, that's not what snubbed means. And more importantly, like, it's not. Even if it was just between that and Dune Part 2, it's still a little lost. Dune Part 2 should have won.
No. Anyway.
Maybe I just like Dune.
This is definitely a puff puff gas.
Puff puff gas. That's a new rating. Puff puff pass, puff puff smash, and puff puff gas.
Yeah, literally.
Is gas better than smash?
Most def.
Okay.
It's probably because I can't remember puff puff smash.
Oh my God. Puff puff gas.
It's definitely gas. No. Literally, I think my dream blunt rotation would definitely have to be Elphaba for sure.
She
knew. No, for real. Dr. Doolittle and any of the animals. Okay. Let's see who else. The animals working at the Oz Dust Bowl. Especially that one drummer. That flying squirrel drummer. And let's see, I need one more. Oh, and the location of Shiz. Like, you have to get there on a boat. Like, are you kidding?
I get, it's not like an island. It's just...
I thought that was still cool.
Well, the Elphaba didn't get on a boat, did she?
I'm pretty sure. They were by the boat thing.
Did you see?
Let's just roll okay, your turn. Okay, your dream blood rotation.
I was going to say Elphaba and Dr. Dolman too, but you took it from me. So
you can still have them.
No, I'm going to say Fiero.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the wizard. I'm going to say the younger wizard, I should clarify. Young wizard and Elphaba's mom when she's younger. Like the two of them, Fiero and fuck, what's his name? It's
Bach?
No. Oh my god, I'm gonna like have a stroke. The lion.
Oh, the cub?
The cowardly lion. That's what I'm trying to think of. I'm like, yeah.
Do you want to smoke up with a minor?
I mean, when he's older.
All right, guys, if you haven't seen
what if Hotbox the Lion?
Wicked.
We won't let him.
I do highly recommend that you watch it. It's really good. I really enjoyed it.
Can be on HBO Max, I'm pretty sure. Shameless plug.
No, you can't. It's on Peacock. It's not on HBO Max.
It was?
It's never. We've only watched it on Apple TV, only because we bought it. Yeah, because we bought it. You can rent it mostly anywhere, but
HBO Max,
if you have Peacock, that's where it's streaming.
By the way, HBO Max changed their color scheme on the app on Xbox. Mm-hmm. It's they're also now black and white, and I keep going there instead of Apple TV, or vice versa.
Yeah,
I'm like,
wow.
Imagine if Hulu became red and black. Like,
that would annoy the hell out of me.
Right.
So anyway, Christian, do you want to tell them where they can find us, or do you want to
you can actually find us in several places. So most notably, you can find us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Mm-hmm. We are Puff Puff Pass. We are the couple that's smoking in the background. We have a lot. Yeah, we have over 50 episodes.
Yeah, we actually, I think we just hit 50 like a while ago. I was keeping track and then I forgot, and then we passed it and hit like 51, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, we've been on season 2 for a while, guys.
Yeah. But at least it's a good season. Right? Mm-hmm. But more importantly, on top of having a lot of episodes, we also have a lot of social media. You can find us on Instagram/threads at puff_pass_podcast. You can also find us on Twitter at also known as X. At Puff Pass Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also find us now brand spanking new. And I'm trying to get better at posting, and I'll probably clip that thing that we talked about earlier for this episode, from this episode, to put on TikTok at, well, it's not really at, but you know, our username is puffthatpodcast23, all one word, all lowercase, because we're cool and edgy like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think. We also have our email. Our Gmail is puffpasspodcast23@gmail.com, correct?
puffpasspodcast23@gmail.com.
We couldn't always...
Tell us your thoughts on Wicked. Did you like it? Do you hate it? Did you think it deserved Best Picture or not? Did you like Anora? Did you hate Anora? We want to know what your Oscar thoughts are. Also, yeah, sorry we haven't been posting a lot. Sorry. Yeah, we do.
They're long episodes.
Mm-hmm. Like we spend... So you're welcome.
Yeah.
So we're feeding you.
Yeah, get fed.
But what else was I going to say? I can't remember. Oh, happy 420, you guys.
Happy 420.
We hope you guys have a really happy 420. We hope you spark up. We hope you get your favorite. And if you're going to church, like, sorry.
Happy Easter, though.
Yeah, yeah, happy Easter for sure.
Also, Passover started yesterday.
Oh.
Right?
I don't know.
That was... Are Good Friday and Passover the same day?
I don't know. I thought Passover was a Saturday thing.
I'm just going to look this up.
Anyway, yeah, correct us if we're wrong. So we're going to continue with our musicals. Christian, what movie are we going to do next?
Our next movie is La La Land.
Yay!
Yay!
So stay tuned for that, guys. Bye!
Bye!